Schneider and Mary and like that.
Let's go first.
We both close that time, can't we?
I think we could.
We can jump both ways.
Which way do you want to go?
Do both together.
Whichever way you want to do it.
There he is.
We're ready.
Oh, great.
Oh, you want us to read it?
I think we have.
Okay.
Right now. Do it together?
You want to do it together?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. I, Eric Funker, do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state. I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. Doesn't have a place for me to sign this year. You want that, huh?
Yep.
File that.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
I'm so happy you're back.
Congratulations.
I'm glad to see you.
And up here.
Assume you should.
You all right?
We're getting there.
So we made it. I just wrapped it up for you. May or may not make it. I knew you were talking going.
Okay, so can I have some more?
Okay. Put that one there.
Okay, I just, being that I'm on the council, I am putting up my disclosure for potential conflicts of interest that the public will be able to view and putting that on. I am also doing a public disclosure for a relative employee of the town of Daniel. So those will be on file at the town if anybody wants to see what any potential conflicts that I'm aware of.
Any other?
You got one more here?
Sorry. Hey, I, Shelby Bunker, need to do this public disclosure because Eric sits up here and so mine will be on. Awesome.
Thank you. See, we're on the ball.
As always, if we'll have some public comment here, if there's any issues that are not on the agenda for this evening, any communication, anything that people would like to say, the council would like you to come up and state your name for record purposes. So I'd like to put item number two, any public comment that might not be on the agenda this evening. Okay, and item number three, which should be here this evening, so we'll bump that back a little bit.
Thank you.
There we go. Didn't hear the door.
Oh, my head.
You are on. So we'd like to...
My clock must be slower.
Presentation from Gilbert and Stewart for fiscal year 2019, our town audit. So put that over there.
Okay. Okay, what timing? Sorry.
Perfect.
I'm trying to get out of here, the office.
Thank you.
I will be quick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Ben Probst. I'm with Gilbert and Stewart, CPAs out of Provo. And we do have an office here in Heber also. So this year, for the town of Daniel, the state requires an audit if the city or town has more than $1 million of revenue or expenditure. We didn't meet that, and so we stepped down. Then they go from $100,000 to $350,000, requires an agreed-upon procedure. And so that's what we have prepared here because we're in the middle of there. And I believe that's what we did the prior year too for you. And in that, the state has certain requirements that we have to test. And that's basically the first part of this report. Shows the various areas that we test in the financial survey. And the financial survey is the financial statements for the town as of the end of June 30th, 2019. team that's back, and I'll go over that at the end. But first, I'll just go through this procedure. So they have us look at general things, and they have us look at some of the revenues and disbursements, and then do some disbursements testing on disbursements and whether or not there's any findings according to what the state wants to have in place. As we went through that, there was one finding, which is near the back portion. And then in the back of the page, this page right here, shows what our finding was, and it has to do with how much we have in our fund balance. The state says that we cannot, our fund balance cannot be over 75% of our revenue. And I look at that as sort of a good, bad finding. It shows that we have more than 75% of our fund balance. And so what they want, they just want you to make sure that you budget accordingly and spend that money, especially where you're collecting money from the taxpayers through taxes and other sources. And so we put a suggestion there to budget accordingly, and sometimes what they do is budget, put the money into a capital projects, the future expenditures down the course. And so we were over that 75% limit by $13,102. And I know for a small town going, you don't want to spend more than you make. And so it's common to see that at times. And so if it happens again, and then they'll want to see a resolution of what you're doing to resolve that. But this is the first year, and so what you do is just do the budget, or if you have to amend the budget, you just maybe budget a little expenditure for a transfer to the capital projects. Then the last part is basically the financial survey showing our balance sheet, basically our position for both the general fund and capital projects fund and the water fund combined. That's the last. Shows our assets, our liabilities, and our fund balance in that respect. But basically, our largest, our bond is our largest, you know, we're making those payments every year in the water fund, and so that's coming down each year. The last page is the revenue and expenses, and shows that in the governmental fund, we had $312,000 of revenue and $162,000 in the water fund. We spent more than we, in the water, we spent $172,000. So we spent more than we received, but part of that has to do with depreciation on the infrastructure. So your cash probably increased in the water fund because of the depreciation is a non-cash expenditure, so it sort of helps set aside money for future repair in that respect. And the last part is just shows the capital, the governmental fund of the infrastructure is, which would be, which isn't reported on the balance sheet. It just shows basically what infrastructure the town has in the roads. With that, you know, we appreciate Mary and Jerry for giving us the information we needed to help comply with the state requirements. You know, as the town continues to grow, more expenditures or revenue comes in, eventually we have an audit. We've done audits in the past, and one thing, you know, some of the developments come in and you receive some capital contributions, and that may come into an audit. So that we appreciate the opportunity to provide the service. Do you have any questions? I know it's the first time you look at it, but if you have questions later, you can call.
Thank you. So I just
just got a quick question.
Sure.
Capital replacement, if we was to put that in, would that help us on our, on this end that we're talking about, having, or if we do a capital replacement account?
Well, you have a capital projects account.
Right. I'm talking about replacement for existing infrastructure.
Well, that's where that would go, is in the capital projects, and that would help to fund any future projects or replacement of any capital.
All right.
Or you spend it in the year.
Right.
Any other questions from the council? Okay, good.
And I apologize for being.
Perfect, man, right on, nailed it.
Great, thank you.
Number four, discussion of Daniel irrigation pipeline. Gil, we'll send the time over to you. Doug, where's that?
Thanks, Don, thank you, so. My name's Hugh Barker, and I'm president of the Daniel Irrigation Company, Water Board. Doug Crittenden is vice president, and Phil is a board member. And the reason we're here, we'd like to put a new line down 3,000 South, just part of the way from Mill Road down to about 70 or 700 East, somewhere in that area. I'll give you some maps. The yellow lines, it's all, that's kind of a faded yellow line is where our lines are currently. And the reason we're trying to run it down 3,000, or we'd like to run it down 3,000, is there's a new subdivision going in. It's Heber Meadows North. If you see that yellow line's going right through a bunch of lots. And we don't furnish any water to that, to Heber Meadows, or we will not furnish to Heber Meadows North. So it's kind of a line out in the middle of nowhere, serving nobody that's part of the Daniels irrigation. And the blue line is right now is what the new developers in that vacant field next to her, they run it down the middle of the road, and they pay for that. But what we're proposing is they give us the money, and we take and use the money to run it down 3,000 South. And it would get it out of Heber City, but all that's in Heber City. And we'd increase the line size, we'd get, and basically give us new lines, it'd help pressure in some of them areas there. Plus it'd be a new line, and I think it would be a benefit to the irrigation company and to the shareholders that are along that area, plus some that's down lower. And we'd just like permission to run it down to 3,000. At the time we did this map, the people who did this map thought that your culinary line was on the north side, or on the, they thought it was on the south side, so they drew it on this, our line on the north, but it's going to have to be reversed, so ours will be on the south side because the culinary line is on the north side of the road. And there is a gas line on the south side, and there's some phone cable. I see some cable lines there over on the, somewhere through there, I'm sure there's a place to run it that's not in the asphalt, it's out in the shoulder of the road. That's what we propose to.
Okay.
Any questions?
Well, that was my question, is where the utilities were at, but now I know.
You know, from what our previous discussion were, I think if we could tighten up some of the loose ends that we discussed previously, we'd be able to look at, seeing how this would work for everybody. So that's kind of how I would feel about it.
No, when you say the loose ends, what are you exactly referring to?
We can discuss that after.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Turn that over, it's easier.
This is Mill Road. So you're just going to cap this line off where the, right here?
Yeah, the developers will cap that off.
Right here.
There's kind of a blown up section, I think, on the next page.
Is there?
That. Yep. Where we cap it off. No, that's off the map. That's 3,000 map. They cap it off there, and we cap it down on the bottom of their property, on the west side of that property.
Okay. So we cap it off here on the way. And then cap it off here. Yes. Yeah, that yellow line is existing in place right now.
Oh, okay.
And we just abandoned that yellow line. and we wouldn't have put in that new blue line, wouldn't have developers. We take the money, it's costing them, put it towards coming down through the house.
Yeah.
That way, then we'd like to get everybody that's on that road, including like John, to get individual turnouts off their main line, like the CUP has throughout the rest of the valley.
That's right.
So Hugh, is this the only section that you're proposing to upgrade right now?
There is a new line that, I think they come before you a couple months ago, 3 months ago, of a grant we're trying to get to replace all the transite pipe that's in the irrigation system. We're trying to, and it's like a $3 million grant. There's a lot of hoops they gotta jump through, but it'll be a good thing for the irrigation company if we can get some more money. It's a 75-25 cost share participation with the federal government, so we got a $3 million grant, we'd still have to come up with $700,000, but we're looking at other ways to get some of that for the EQ and other places to help us fund the stuff that we'd have to come up with.
When would this project take place, when the lease ends?
As soon as weather permits this spring. That's quite a word work. We'd like to have it done before springtime, before we turn the water in April.
Okay.
And we've got a couple different bids on it already. So yeah, we're kind of ready to go, get some permission from the council.
This doesn't look like it would disrupt too many driveways or...
You know, there's probably need to be a little more discussion because it's that's very simple what they're going to do. But yeah, there are those issues and other right-of-ways of future uses that may be there that we probably need to talk about and whatnot, but they wanted to come present it today.
Mm-hmm. Well, bare line is always a good thing.
Yeah, so there will be three road crossings. There will be one on Mill Road, one at Temp View, and one at Ranch Road. And I think there's three driveways, a couple that's asphalt, a gravel one, I think John's the gravel one.
So it'll be on the south side of it?
It'd be on the south side of that.
Okay.
So there wouldn't be a Temp View crossing if it's on the south side. There wouldn't be a Temp View crossing if it's on the south side.
No, yeah, because we got to tie into that line.
Yeah, well... Okay.
Yeah, we got to cross it.
Got it.
Over there, we're around a 4-inch line. I'll just open them four homes that's in there. We want to shut it off. And they come through some property by them other landowners in the back. It's kind of a messed up deal in the back there. So we've abandoned that line. It's in their backyards.
Ready for a motion?
Yeah, ready for a motion.
Yep. I make a motion that we continue this and start working on the agreement. Put together the agreement for this line. If we can have D&O draft that agreement.
If council is interested in it, we can certainly look at the alignments and details a lot closer. You know, but before when we talked, it was more of a conceptual, are we, you know, yes or no? So we can move forward with details.
I thought maybe in the meeting we did, maybe down to Ryan's this time, just to kind of clarify what we're talking about.
Okay.
From loose ends and whatnot. And
sure.
If we could get that scheduled too, then that would. That is as soon as we can, too.
Do you want a draft agreement? I guess we'll have a discussion on the motion.
Yeah, what type of agreement that should be, or not, you know.
Yeah.
In a local agreement, whatever type of agreement we might need to put together in the wording for that, but I think that should be able to be put together.
Okay.
So could you restate the motion?
The motion is to continue this and to start work on the agreement with T&O.
I'd second that.
We have a first and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Item number five, discussion of Highway 40 and Highway 189 agreement access location. Turn it over to Eric. Throw on all the forwards and backwards and forwards and forwards and backwards. We'll decide we have to go on this, but discuss it again.
Okay. Really what we want to do is make you aware that UDOT is currently looking at putting a light at 3000 South and 189. So we're under, we've been to a couple of meetings regarding our highway corridors. We also have another access point on Highway 40 that was, it's a milepost marker 20. And so the town of Independence came to the meeting and wanted to move that further south. And so we looked at what we have, and right across about from Ed Houston's driveway is about as far as we can go without jeopardizing the spacing of the future signalized intersections that we have. So we're able to tweak it a little bit because they have a certain amount of footage, 1,650 feet or 1,050.
They would like us to tweak it a lot more than can be.
Yes, and so they've asked us to see how far we could go. I went out and looked at it, and I think that's about as far as I think that we would like to go without jeopardizing Little Sweden Road for a future signalized intersection. The town only has three exits to the town, so that will become another one right there that we'll have access to. But they want to make sure that that lines up so it's a four-way as these come to signalized intersections. So I guess what we're asking the council is how much, what's your feelings on it? What's our leeway to go?
And to add a little bit more to that, so through the course of the meetings with the county and Heber City and Independence didn't show up, now they want it moved. Eric had studied quite hard and put a section that we thought when we made the agreement at a mile marker just shy of 20, and it works for our grounds. And now Independence wanted to move that a little bit, so there are some grounds to move, and that's kind of what he's bringing up. Does the council have any feel on any way we would proceed on keeping it where we planned after a year and a half, or moving it to help accommodate a little bit another municipality?
I'm trying to visualize that. You say there already is an access?
In the agreement, there's an access.
In the agreement, we put one future on Highway 40.
And you say you could move it to the Ed Houston driveway.
Right, so this would
that's
be...
That's a landmark I'm familiar with.
Okay, so yeah, this is Ed Houston's driveway. Milepost 20 would be right here. Okay, and so that's halfway between the Mill Road intersection and Little Sweden's. And so we took that halfway point at milepost 20 because UDOT tells us that that is as close as we can have signalized intersection. We can have other intersections, but they're right in, right out. So it keeps the flow going. And so what they've asked us to do is move this from 20. They would like to be clear down here, because the town of Independence is bringing a road down and they want to come in like that. And so all this would be, in their plan, this is all commercial here. And then this is their main road that goes on up into Independence. And so what we've asked them, when they've came to us, they want to know how far down we can come south to accommodate that. And we're just like, we'll just push this down to 20. Well, they said that because of that, their property actually does one of those, and they said this becomes worthless to them. And so they want to fill this with residential, so the further they can get that way, that's what their plan shows here, mixed-use commercial and residential.
Mike, if you move it down that far, does that preclude ever having a signalized intersection at Little Sweden?
It right now, UDOT says if we don't go too far, then they'll be able to work with that. That 20's the set thing, but if we want to work with that, by the way, Ed Houston's, this is 250 feet from milepost marker 20 to Ed Houston's driveway. So they said that's doable for them, for UDOT. It was a preliminary meeting. That's where we ended up. Wasatch County was there, Heber City was there, UDOT, and Independence. And Mountain Lions Association of Government, Robert, was there too. So that's what we're asking, is if 250 feet is too far, it won't jeopardize our signalized intersections. It's a good point to bring up. That's what we didn't want to do, is jeopardize that. And that's why we put that in at 20. I'm like, put it in there while we're here doing this agreement. So.
And that's kind of hard to get that in there, but he did.
It was tough. It's tough to do anything.
So do you know if they're planning any sort of an access road situation on either side?
They are not. We are.
And does that mess that up at all?
It doesn't. Because our the one that, and this is way down the road, and I hate being put the line on there.
We've got to look ahead.
So if this is Little Sweden Road coming down here, and then this was the Mill Road, right? So what we planned on doing is we have to the third property here, which is Trinell's. We have the storage units here. So we're thinking of bringing a road in through off of this road, coming along the back of this, not lining up with 3000 South, but dropping that in about where Gordon's is, Joe Gordon's, so that this has a T intersection and doesn't become a fly-through down 3000 South. So we've kind of eliminated that with the T, making that a through thing. I mean, if you go to these meetings, they want to blow 3000 South right up to the highway. I mean, that's...
And the independents could not understand why we wouldn't push all of the traffic down Middle Street. And well, that's going to get wide, and you know, they want that access. And it's like, that's really not going to happen, but they do want it, by the way.
So if we push this road down to here, and it winds up, then we would have the ability to hook this into a frontage road here. And be able to, we have a commercial in some of these areas 300 feet back already. I would assume as this develops that will become commercial to both sides of that road a little bit and kind of a buffer along. Our general plan speaks to those along the highway corridors is where we're going to put our commercial, where we have a few people that want to put high density residential in. And I think that it belongs in those commercial zones, close access to the highway, and it really doesn't impact a lot of different areas. So we haven't talked about that, so but that's like 2040, it's out there a ways, but we're at 2020, we didn't think we'd make it there either, so.
The crystal ball has still got snowflakes falling in it, but that's kind of what we have seen what may build out in the future.
I think it's great.
Nobody hit me with a rock, so.
Yeah. You know, a lot of thought went into that as well. Any other questions from anyone? Okay.
Do you need to go over this stuff?
So I guess really what we're asking is what the council's feelings are on that 250 feet. I think that's doable, but that's just me. I'm asking you.
If you can get them to agree to it, yeah. And if they've agreed to it.
You can hold them to the 20 if you want. The agreement's there. We made that with UDOT.
Yeah.
Well, the agreement's with who? With independents or with UDOT?
We've all signed it.
Everybody except for independents.
Yeah. Heber City signed it. County signed it. We signed it.
Is UDOT willing to say that does not preclude Little Sweden in 40?
If you move that, they said it verbally in the meeting and everything. I would not let them slide with that. I I'm a 20 mark myself. I don't, you know, if they would have come and kind of worked and had some interest in it, they chose not to come for a year and a half, and we played around with lots of footages and made that work. I don't know that we need to accommodate them for the 250 feet, but the council feels that that's necessary. Great. I don't know that it would, it's already set at 20, and they know it's set at 20. I'd like to see it at 20 myself.
Is there anything, if you move it, is there any negotiating about anything that independents could do for Daniel?
No, they're really letting the developer drive this, who is Millstream.
Exactly. They're very, very, very important clients, and we want to keep them happy right in the meeting.
So they're letting the developer drive it. They really didn't have any concrete answers for us until they got there. Like I said, they would like to be clear down at 22, so they'd like to go down quite a bit further. Or 21.5 or something, I think. But I mean, 250 feet, you can pick up a rock. I was standing at the 20, I picked up a rock and hit the driveway. It's within that close, so. But it's
250 feet, I want to see that.
Swing chop. Okay.
Tell it right.
Any other questions? Okay.
Well, let's get some direction. We go back to the meeting.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, we talked about
it.
No resolve.
Council, yeah, that's good. Is there any
I think it'd be just safe at our town to keep it at the 20.
You know, they can move the road as easy as anything else. They have the reasons why they wouldn't want to move it. They chose not to participate in the planning. I don't know why we need to accommodate. Any other comments or discussions? And can we take a motion on it?
Yeah, I think we definitely have a motion. Then we can go back and say we talked to council.
I make a motion to keep the access agreement at the 20-mile marker on Highway 40.
Okay, you have a motion to keep it, the access at 20-mile marker.
I'll second that.
We have a first and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
We have one opposed. Motion passes.
I can say I voted against it, but here it is.
Okay, moving on to item number 6, Daniel Resolution. Written right now is DR 2019-12-12A. Is that your presentation now?
If you'd like.
Yep.
I would make a request that we change the resolution number so that it reflects actually 2020. 0106, and that would be in line and consistent with what we've done in the past as far as appointments of the Planning Commission members, and it should be just a simple word.
Okay. Does council have any discussion or reasons why we should or shouldn't amend this resolution?
Oh, we have a motion.
No, is that a motion?
I was just making a suggestion, but I would make a motion if that's required. I would make that motion.
Okay. Anybody have any? Mary? Talk to
you. I've already documented it, so
okay.
I'll make that change.
We'll take a motion on it and we'll get a change and we'll hold that.
You want to take a vote?
Yeah. Second that. Oh, okay.
There you go.
First and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So the DR 2020-01-06, effective date January 6, 2020. Short title, resolution reappointing Daniel Town Planning Commission member for a 4-year term to run from January 2020 to January 2024. The purpose of this resolution is to reappoint Daniel Town Planning Commission members who have agreed to continue to serve on the commission and who agreed to abide by the ordinances established by the Town of Daniel Council and by the bylaws established by the Daniel Town Planning Commission. Resolution be resolved and approved by the Daniel Town Council that the following persons, seat 1, Gary Waite, seat 2, Brent Waterman, and seat 5, Pam Skinner, should continue to serve on the Planning Commission for another 4-year term, which shall run from January 2020 to January 2024. Questions or discussion on that?
So you was right. We had one name out of order, and so we've corrected that with Brent Waterman in seat number 2.
Any discussion? Shall I entertain a motion?
And Gary Waite is still willing to serve.
Yeah, I send out.
This is hard.
I send out. He would love to quit if somebody else would butt in.
He's been there from the beginning.
More than quit for about 15 years.
There's a whole bunch of people like to quit if somebody else would butt in.
Well, he deserves a medal, I'll tell you.
He's been a long time doing a great job.
He's really an asset to us on that. He does a lot of homework, and so all of our members of planning are fantastic. I'm impressed with how much we get done.
No discussion, shall I entertain a motion on that?
For this resolution? Okay, I make a resolution that we approve. I make a motion that we approve this resolution with the new numbering 2001-06, and that we strike from the record our resolution last month.
Second.
First and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Business licenses. No new licenses, apparently. We have some renewals for Joe Bonner Haircutting, Computer Nerds, and Wes's Auto. Take it that we have not had any complaints on those.
We have not had any complaints.
Okay. Comment or discussion from the council on that, and if not, I'll entertain a motion to renew those business licenses.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second?
I second that.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Item number eight, discuss and set a public hearing for gun sanctuary town. I don't know if anyone were able to pick up the ordinance by, or what we're here to do is to schedule a public hearing to discuss ones that we'd like to get into place. We're looking for a date that we can get that scheduled for. And we can do it next meeting. Fine, maybe that might work, maybe not, to save time.
We can do that.
Council have any preferences?
Well, before we set a public hearing, could you just give us a little background about why we're going to think about doing this?
As I mentioned to you earlier, I would think this is pretty important with today, I feel, pretty important today, the way that our constitution is being looked at and the way that this particular issue is being looked at in the nation, that we would not want to be behind the eight ball. I'm somebody who'd like to be in the front of the eight ball and make sure that our residents are protected in a way that they want to. I've had people comment on it, and I would think that public discussion would be good on it for the town. So I'd like to see that happen, that we can be a gun sanctuary town, that you know, people don't have to worry that right now we're a little freer than some of the municipalities with regards to gun use in the town. This, I believe, will be a good discussion, and I think the town's, there's a lot of gun owners in the town that I think might be interested in this. We'll find out. Any other discussion? Other comments?
Well, I don't disagree with your philosophy here. I'm just wondering if this is a an issue that needs to be taken up at this time. I mean, are you responding to feedback that you've had from citizens?
I would say that there's no rush. It just came up, and was there something more important than this that you want to discuss or not? Or?
Well, no, I'll tell you what, though. Wasatch County and some of our municipalities in Wasatch County have made national news in the last year or two, and I've watched other areas of the country set up gun sanctuary ordinances. You're talking about resolution here, but they've done ordinances. They've made national news, and I don't know. We don't have our own law enforcement agency. We're dependent on Wasatch County, and so I certainly want to, you know, find out how our sheriff feels, how our law enforcement feels about what they might have to accommodate if we did do this. And this is all the things that we do in a public discussion, yes, in a public hearing. But what I just wanted to talk about tonight was, are you feeling that there's some pressure?
Not at all. Like I say, I want to be in front of it, and I like what the other states and the other counties have done. Mm-hmm. I think we ought to.
Well, like I say, I'm a gun owner, and I don't know anybody that's not a gun owner, so I'm sure there is a lot of support for this.
You're anti-gun in this crowd.
You know, I've seen the...
Okay, I think I'm done here.
I've just seen from a national governors down to counties to everybody that this is starting to be an issue for them, and you know, there's no magical thing today to do it as much as it came up.
Is there anything in Utah moving with other counties or any kind of movement?
You know, I don't know. We may very well be the first one.
haven't heard about any. I'd like to see what's going to happen in Virginia. I'd like to see what's going to happen there.
Well, when he puts $250,000 in the state budget to go after the individual, so the governor has put in the state budget $250,000 to go after all those who don't turn their guns in.
You're talking about Virginia now.
I am talking about Virginia now.
Not Utah.
Not Utah. I don't want to be in that position to be in Utah. People have commented. It's on the agenda. Would the council like to have a public discussion on it and move it to public hearing? And if so, would the get a date set?
Are you afraid of being on the news?
Well, listen, Wasatch County was just ridiculed for having $1 billion. Wallsburg didn't hold elections. Let's see.
That happens every year.
I don't even equate that to the same thing as this.
But it was national news. And then, plane ran off the runway the other day.
That
national
was on,
news.
Yes, it was.
So I can just see it. Daniel, town of Daniel. 1,000 people. No, like I say, I'm not opposed to
hopefully
this.
I hope that this will, in my opinion, is what I'm trying to say, get lots of others to do it.
Lots of others, okay.
Other municipalities, other counties, I don't think
we've
seen the end of this.
We're just holding a public hearing. I mean, we're not making any decisions. Correct?
No, not tonight.
I think that we need to hear.
That's the reasoning for it.
I'm okay with moving forward with it. We can hear what you guys need to show up and tell us what you think.
I make a motion that we open it up for a public hearing on the Second Amendment.
A motion to hold a public hearing. Do you have a second?
I second it.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And what date would the council like to be able to have that? Next council meeting?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Council meeting.
Good.
Eric, that's soon enough to be late.
Yeah, 14 days.
That'll work next month.
Is that correct, Mary?
Okay. Yep.
Discuss acquisition of Daniel Water share. That's on our agenda each month to that opportunity arises when I'm on the agenda to be able to make a decision. I haven't heard of anything coming down as far as that. Any council member?
I have a question. You're aware of the state engineer's office re-adjudicating the water rights. They're holding a meeting with the senior center on January 14th. And I think this does affect some people in Wasatch County. Do you know if it's going to, I mean, this doesn't affect Daniel yet, but at some point, maybe Hugh can answer this question. Have they given you any?
We haven't received notice of it yet. We're still in Utah County doing it. Midway will be the first in this valley that gets it, and they haven't received notice of it.
Midway just got notices.
Say, January 14th, they're having a meeting at the senior center to discuss some of these issues.
That's for the Midway book. The Daniel book will follow the Midway book, so I would anticipate 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Could you state your name?
Roger Pearson.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering if we would want to wait and find out what happens with the rejuvenation. I don't know how this is all going to shake out. You know, if the shares are going to lose.
Get a haircut or something on diversion and things.
So I'm just wondering how that's going to affect any shares that you might buy.
There's been discussion and about it, and right now that the feels that the municipalities being the most important water use that those would be nice to have in hand and not get a haircut if they possibly were to get a haircut. So that's the municipalities that wouldn't get a haircut. Could in a diversion situation, but we're still going to be able to save any the water shares we need. In fact, and we do need them over time.
Could affect the price of the gym. I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
And we just
had,
started. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Could affect the price. We've kind of.
Can you give us any more information, Roger?
Yeah, Roger can.
Yeah. So The way adjudication works is they're going to look at every water right. The Daniel Irrigation Company owns the water right. And so when the adjudication comes, Daniel Irrigation Company will be responsible for filing a user claim with the state, with the courts, basically. And that user claim will be their claim to their water right. And so they have to show, the company has to show beneficial use as explained in their water right. And that, based on the diligence claim, is 1,800 acres of irrigation. And so the only exemptions from that are an approved change application. So that's wells in the town that are using Daniel shares. And if they've been approved by the state's change application process, then they're protected from forfeiture as long as they're still in development. If it's a certificated water right, then you'll have to show beneficial use of that. Meaning if your well is for a home, quarter acre of irrigation, and some livestock units of irrigation, then you'll have to show beneficial use of all of those types of uses. And it could be any combination of those. If a municipality owns a water right, and they are a municipal water supplier, then they are protected from forfeiture as long as they either acquired the water right or the shares prior to 2008, or if it's under an approved change application as well. And so any shares that...
Oh, right. Heber City's going on their changes, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
so other municipalities are moving forward on filing change applications on shares that they acquired for wells, and other sources of supply that they acquired after 2008. So Heber City's doing that. They're working on Timpanogos shares that they own, Wasatch shares that they own. And the reason they're doing that is because they acquired those after 2008. And so the town, and I don't know if it would be the municipal water company, would, if the town owned it, if the town and the municipal water company were two separate entities, I'm not entirely certain that the town is protected from forfeiture. And so the town, if the town acquires shares, they need to show a beneficial use, which is irrigation, domestic, livestock, whatever. They need to show that they're using that water so that they're protected from forfeiture. If a municipal water supplier is different than a town, a town doesn't necessarily qualify as a municipal water supplier as two separate entities. That's just kind of a really brief description on protection from forfeiture. In the end, the irrigation company is going to be responsible for the water right. If the company gets cut, meaning if they can only show 1,700 acres instead of 1,800 acres, and they get cut 100 acres of irrigation, then the irrigation company will be responsible for figuring out how to either share that equally among the shares, or so they have to share it equally among the shares, or they have the option to cut shares from the company that were the result of forfeiture. So if I owned 100 shares and I was just sitting on them, not using them, and I was the result of the company losing 100 shares, they could take my shares and leave everybody else whole. So it'll be up to the company to decide how that all shakes out. Because as a shareholder, you're not a water right holder. You're just a shareholder in a company that owns a water right. So the shares are going to be ultimately decided by the courts, or that the water right will be decided by the courts, and then if the company gets cut, the company will then have to decide
how to reallocate.
How to redistribute the water.
Are you guys concerned about showing 1,800 usage? Or?
Yeah, we don't have that much. We mapped it out. We're at 1,650, but we are using
all the water we can out of the Daniels Creek, which is our water right, then out of the Jordanelle is a contract water right, which we don't play into that. The CUP has to show the water use on that, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it'll be, because it's a federal water right, it won't be subject to the adjudication, the 2,900 acre feet.
Yeah, so we don't have enough water as it is in our contract water right to furnish these 1,600 and something acres. Oh, and then we got legal counsel of Clyde Snow that's going to kind of go to bat for us, which is, they've been doing a lot in Utah County, so they're pretty familiar with everything on it.
Thanks, Roger.
We do have a change application or to file on our shares when the time is right. And I know we've talked about it, we've set it up. We haven't filed it because as we're actively buying shares, the number of shares was in flux. So it's sitting there ready to go. Sounds like in 4 or 5 weeks, maybe the time that we want to go ahead and pull the trigger. Because we've done those in the past, and then we bought, we've acquired other shares. And so we've been just kind of waiting as the number of shares was in flux. And so something we do need to work out is we're using some of them from our municipal system to serve, and so that point of diversion is pretty clear. We're using others that we've obtained, but we're still using them through the Daniel Irrigation Network to supply irrigation. And so how many of them we want to change versus what shares we want to just own in the company, since that's whether being serviced is a discussion we'll need to have in the next month or so, it sounds like.
It sounds like if any of them we want to have in the municipal water system, should we change that over from town of Daniel to
right.
Daniel Municipal Water.
And that's where I've got the application with the section, all the paperwork's ready. The one thing that was missing was one share or 10 shares or 5 shares or based on how many shares we might buy since we were actively buying. I've held off on filling out that one part and then we can get the signatures and file it. The one question I had that we need to work through is we own shares that are still being serviced for irrigation by the irrigation company, right. And we may not want to transfer those because we don't want to change the points of diversion if we're still using the old point of diversion. And so we may own, just making up numbers, 10 shares, but want to transfer 8 and leave 2 in the company, depending on what the numbers look like. And I looked at those once, we'll need to look at it again here soon.
I think one other thing to add is, as you go through the change application process, that essentially is adjudication, right? So whether you go through the change application process now or during adjudication, they're going to do the exact same thing. The change application process is going to adjudicate that water right or that share. And I think the critical part of that is when you go through the change application process, the state is going to ask, where have these shares been used? So basically, what's going to die? So if we take this water, move it into a well, if it's 8 shares, what 2 acres is going to die because of this, right? Or where are we moving this from? What are we drying up? And so that's essentially what adjudication is going to do, number one, and that's what your change application is going to do as well. So it may or may not, you definitely want to go through the change application process, but whether you do it the day they send out summons, it may not make a difference.
The thought was, you mentioned 1,600 acre feet versus the, or 1,600 acres versus the 18 filing, that could help justify some of that was kind of the logic. But you're right. I mean,
as long as it's an approved change application. I mean, the change application approval process can take anywhere between 6 weeks and 6 months. So I think the key is making sure that those shares are being put to beneficial use. If they're held by a municipal water supplier, you're maybe a little more safe, as long as you can show that, we are going to use those shares, we'll get on the process of filing the change application, because the adjudication process, the decision could come down from the courts that, hey, Daniel Municipal, we see those shares, file a change application. That could be the decision, but it's ultimately up to the courts to decide that. So.
Lynn.
How do those of us on a different irrigation company, Timpanogos specifically, fit into this new picture?
Same guy. It's going to be the exact same process, except that your company will get adjudicated most likely 2 months after Daniel. And so, because your company's version is up in the Jordan L Basin, so it'll go Midway, Daniel, Lake Creek, and then Jordan L.
And that's both TIP and Wasatch, right?
That's right. And the way it'll work is everyone in that area will get a letter. So whether you own a water right or not, you'll get a letter. Every homeowner, every property will get a letter. And then if you own a water right, you'll also get a summons. And that, I mean, it'll look just like a court summons to submit a water claim. If you're a shareholder, don't do anything. You don't need to worry about it, except to work with the company and make sure that your shares are being put to use like you think they are. And the company and you are on the same page, you know. But a shareholder doesn't need to do anything. If you own a well, water right, a spring, you know, any other water right, then you will have to submit a user claim, or else you're subject to lose that water.
And you say Daniel's supposed to be in the next 4 weeks or so?
That's what they plan, about a month. Okay. And we just got some of the Midway notices last mm-hmm. week.
So as we hook these people on, that's what we're requiring in, is some water to replace so we can take more out of the wells.
Yeah. And that's what you need to show as a municipal water supplier. Like I said, you may not be under the same protections as a town. A town won't be the same as a municipal water supplier.
Any other questions?
Clear your mind.
It's not now, it'll be clear soon, hopefully. Shelly, on number 10, Daniel Municipal Water, any issues that have...
Let's see, we're having a lot of move in, so I've been on my foot a lot with keeping up with the idle companies, you know, getting dealing with all those. But that is helping with a lot of the past due, because they have to have it paid before. So that comes out of the title company.
I know, that came down a little bit on this
last report. Yes, yep. So that kind of, the move outs is kind of working in our favor. I'm getting ready to go to training. Just reminding you that it is the end of February. And as I'm studying, I'm realizing I'm old, but I'll do the best I can. So I've had a lot of questions on the water rights, a lot of calls asking, okay, if you're still buying, and do you do well rights also? Are you buying well rights or just water?
That's a good question. They're talking about well rights.
And then my other question, and maybe these guys can help, I get a lot of irrigations and questions of what to do, and I am now sending them to Hugh Barker, because I've heard Central Utah Water is mean and will not talk to people. So
mean.
I've had about 10 people call me and tell me they'd never call them again, that they was treated very poorly. And I'm like, don't want to tell them who my husband works for. That's I told Eric, who do I complain to without getting in trouble?
Nobody,
exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so I finally have just quit calling, tell them to go to Central, because I thought those two was working kind of together. But obviously, are you working together, or just send them to Hugh?
We try to help out wherever we can, honestly. If there's things we can do, otherwise, if there's questions we can't answer, we send them to the irrigation company.
Okay.
Or send them to me.
Okay, I'm just going to send it to you, Hugh. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Eric, give me
absolutely.
Eric, give me your phone number, and I hope that was okay.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'll just send them to you. Okay. Great. And I think other than that, everything's been going well. I haven't heard, like I said, from Ryan. I haven't heard from people. It's been awesome.
I have one thing that I wanted to bring up. Because of our prior involvement with the town, Mike is still getting the Rural Water magazine. Location. So I was reading
through. It's not changeable. It's not doable.
You can
get it for the rest of your life.
Well, I got it at the office too. So
yeah, I was gonna say, and I've called him, and if I ask him who is on there, it's just the mayor, Ryan, and me, and everybody's off. Yeah, but anyway, and then all of a sudden I get everything.
Well, anyway, the Division of Drinking Water is now requiring someone be certified in the cross-connection training, and they are doing that at the convention in February. It's not cheap. It's like $565 to buy the manual and get the training. Then you have to take the test and become certified. But by the end of 2020, I think our level water company is supposed to have a certified person. If we get an extension, it would be the end of next year, 21. So anyway, that's just something that I don't know the name. Everybody was aware of that. I wasn't until just, you know, I was reading through that magazine. So I don't know if anybody is designated to do those kinds of things. We did all that when we were involved, but I don't know that you have to get this done at the convention or whatever they call it. I think you can probably do it at a different time of the year. But anyway, it will cost, you know, probably $600 or so to get that done.
Probably a good thing to have under our belt anyway to deal
with. It's required. Yeah. It won't.
I think we actually have a couple of years to do that. It's 1,000 of us in 2020, and then it drops to 500 in a couple of years, 2022, 500.
I thought it said 21. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up just so that, you know, for budget purposes and trying to designate who's going to be responsible for that. You're supposed to be checking cross connections. When I was involved, it was 10% of your connections every year. I don't know what it is now, but
still 10%. Anyway. We do monitor those through the meters. I think there's certainly more that could be done, but we do monitor those through the meters.
I know we are doing it, but like I'm saying, they're getting much more restrictive now in making sure you document this in more accuracy and training.
Yeah. Oh, I don't disagree. It's not like we're not doing any, you know.
Oh, no.
Could we do better? Absolutely. But we're way ahead of where we were 5 years ago.
I understand.
So.
The main, our big main three, you know, like the school district, the church, the county, they didn't like me because I sent them their paperwork for cross connection and backflow, and they ignored me. I finally got on the phone and said, guess what? You're being shut off in 10 days. They're like, what? And it's like, give this stuff to me. I have to get it to the state. I have to have, and then, boy, I have that stuff immediately. But they're like, haven't done this before. I'm like, exactly, but you have to do it. And they're just like, so sometimes I'm a thorn in people's side. Oh, wait, most of the time. So that it is happening, and we are keeping documentation, and Ryan keeps me informed of whose houses that they've checked, you know, so. So we are doing, like he said, things are rolling and doing really good.
I have a question back on that acquisition of Daniel Water Shares. I don't know if Ryan can help me with this. Back a year or so ago, there was a question on your water up at Storm Haven, and it showed right of 60 acre feet.
Right.
And that was covered by 15 shares of water.
Correct.
Which would put it about 225 shares short.
Yes.
Has that ever been resolved, or is that why you're trying to buy water?
Well, that's probably some of the loose ends we're going to discuss.
No, that hasn't been resolved. The town turned it over to their legal counsel, and I haven't been in the loop. But I couldn't make head or tails of why 15 shares were evidence for 60 acre feet, and yet it was signed by everybody. And so I gave up and passed it on to people who are smarter than I am.
So you're not trying to buy shares to make up to hold your water right up there?
Or? We're trying to buy shares for water needs of the whole town, but not necessarily that issue that we're.
Would you lose that water right if you didn't have the shares?
No, there are other water rights that the municipal company owns that would allow that system to keep operating. I think what we're looking at by buying shares is that we look at how many connections we have now and the connections we see in the future, and we are going to be short of water here in the not too distant future as we keep adding.
Okay.
And so that's the need to purchase water, is to make sure that our water shares exceed how much water we're pumping. Or at least equal to, I think, in the end, but exceed it for a while we're growing. We don't want to be behind.
So we looked at build out, and we're just about, well, we're over half, but we're not at build out. We won't have enough water to service the entire town.
Well, I just saw your acquisition, I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe it had something to do with that.
Yeah, and so that's why we're doing that. Anybody that wants to sell, we're doing that for a change application, acquiring those to do a change use into our well, so we can pump out and service the town.
So I wouldn't say it's because of that issue, although if that issue goes poorly for us, then that would necessitate, you know, make a bigger need to buy water, you know. We need more water faster.
I hate to see you lose it.
But if we, assuming that goes well and we do get that resolved at 68 feet, the town still needs additional water as we grow.
That's your question.
Yeah, thanks.
Any other questions?
So back to your question. I'm not worried about showing beneficial use for the municipal company. We've done the math and we're way short of where we ultimately need to be.
Moving on to item number 11, which would be Storm Haven. Any particular issues there? I know we had another sewer clean out on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And so the calls kind of went out and took a day to get somebody up there or something, but they did and it got cleaned up. It's the same issue, the same reasoning, it's a clogging issue, and should be good for hopefully 4, 6, 8 months. So.
I think we're going to have to look at raising the rates there. If they continue to flush wipes down and it keeps plugging, then you end up with $1,000 bill every 6 months to jet that thing out.
Is there
18 hookups? It's $180 a piece every time they jet at a break even.
The jet's not working too much now, it's all grinding.
Yeah. So we're going to have to look at it until they can change. What's being flushed up there, it's not going to change. Those wipes do not break down.
Do you want me to send that paper out again? I mean, to remind him? I mean, it's not working before, you know, but do you want me to?
I can't remember which particular one.
Just show them what they can put in there down.
So,
start the year off again, trying to remind them.
Have to flush it out and get the bill.
And maybe even a little less, many of them know they, you know, Christmas Day got flushed out again, so trying to keep that from happening. This would be nice if you could do that.
I mean, I'm almost to the point where I think we set a public hearing to raise the sewer rates, and they will come, and we'll be able to talk to them. But I mean, if this continues, we're upside down in that company, and it just continues. And it's got to stop.
What is the charge now?
What's that?
What is the charge down for sewer?
12 or 45.
The water's 45. 40.
Yeah, water 45.
The sewer's 40.
That went up, what, however many months, 3 years?
Yeah, we raised it because we knew we was dealing with some issues, but the issues continue. And I mean, if you're up there on Christmas Eve, it's a great time.
There's also about a moratorium for that. If we need to look at
work. We're really under a moratorium because the state says you can't do those systems anymore.
On the sewer side?
Yeah, sewer side.
On the water side, I think it's...
Just lift it.
Up for discussion. Well, the council hasn't lifted it, but I think that we've got enough new things in place that's worth a discussion. The water should be revisited. The sewer, like I said, the state prevents us from expanding, like Eric said. So there's historical hookups on lots that it was originally platted for that we can continue to use, but we can't go make that system bigger than it already is.
And what about an abandoned use that maybe somebody wanted to hook back up as part of that sewer?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer for you.
All right. That was a good answer.
Okay.
Can those charges that are incurred, will all those that sewer system out back to just the users of that system?
We'd have to do that through the rates.
Well, it has its own budget. So to Eric's point, we need to raise the rates because if we look at what we're spending and what we're gaining, it's not working. So we need
to look at it over the last year or two, what it's doing, and then just in increase the rates accordingly.
If you could get them to change their habits, I don't think you'd be doing it as often, but...
Just last year, we did it three times.
Yeah. And I think $1,000 was the least of them, but I think we went higher than that.
$15's kind of the mark, and they took out 1,600 gallons.
Yeah, so you got 18 people that are, that's quite a healthy chunk, and it's no fun.
No.
Person where that manhole, where it all comes out, doesn't like it either on Christmas Day.
No. So I think we ought to be thinking about looking at holding a public hearing and looking at the rates again. And if, I mean, until they'll self-police themselves at some point, or else we'll be jetting them three times a year.
Well, we're all on our own separate septic tanks, and we're liable for our own.
Yeah.
It's kind of that way.
Council, like I said, a meeting for that public hearing for that now, or?
Yeah, we do that one, the same one that, yeah.
Could we put the numbers together first and see what we're working with?
For our numbers or comparable numbers or all the numbers?
No, I mean, what the expenses are as opposed to revenues, and see where,
where it needs to be.
Yeah, where it needs to be. I was wondering about that too. I don't know when the last time rates were raised.
Well, very long ago, I mean, everybody produced here.
Well, I'm with you though. If you could control behavior, it would definitely...
That seems to be the only thing that...
It's really tight notices and...
Well, so, yeah, maybe it's time to charge some money.
I don't know how...
Special assessment or something.
I don't know how else to do it. I wish that we could, I mean, we sent out the notices, don't do this, don't do this.
So it's not everybody in Stormhaven that's on that?
No, no, 18 of those hook in, so it's limited. Unfortunately, it goes around three times and they never see it again and they don't care, so... I don't know how else to do it. I mean, we probably all had that discussion at our own houses.
Would the council like to set a date for that?
Yeah, let's set one for March. After our...
And then look at the expenses and everything next month and see what we're bringing in, because it looks like it's about $170 a household if we're spending $3,000 a year, about.
Just on cleanup.
Just on cleanup for a household. So, I mean, so I think we need to look at those expenses and revenues.
We'd have a crowd.
It's gonna be.
That's a good time and give us time to look at it.
And if you can get us the stuff, it'd be great.
I think it'd be a good thing too to be able to point out all the benefit that the town has done for the Stormhaven.
Yes.
As far as grants.
A little money.
All the things that we've done, you know, I mean, the history of what's gone on up there, if you've been involved, you know how much effort we've put into that and expense that we've tried to help with. So it would be a good thing to be prepared with those numbers.
Sounds good.
So we got a motion for March?
Yeah, have a motion yet?
I'll make a motion for March.
March public hearing for...
I second that.
First and second for a public hearing in March for water rates.
Yeah, and the Stormhaven.
Any discussion on it?
Yeah, we're going to have Ryan's group put those numbers together and charts it.
I can do that. I'll have to get with Mary on budget numbers, but I can do that.
Great.
Because as we pointed out, I mean, $3,000 is what we're talking about for the emergency jetting. There's a lot of other annual costs that we incur, that we're supposed to incur to try to prevent other things from going bad.
Okay, it's
total cost.
And I don't know what that is, but that's what we'll look at.
Okay.
It absolutely leaves us nothing but capital replacement, and we have failures. I mean, we're just in the hole.
Yeah. No, it has to be dealt with, for sure.
It'd be nice to be able to tell them, you know, that the town is working as hard as it can, too, to make this work.
Some know, but most don't.
I know.
Okay, so the motion for...
Yeah.
Oh, well, we added Ryan on there. Did you make that motion and then add Ryan, or do you want to start over? Might get to the numbers, or just...
Yeah, Ryan, do the numbers.
Go
And you want that at the February meeting to present to you guys?
Yeah.
February, if you can pull that one off.
Okay.
The motion is to have the numbers ready to compare the cost versus our expenditures, and Ron will be able to help out with Mary and give those figures for March. That's the motion. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Second, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Public hearing on March.
That's why we're bumping.
Okay, item number 12, approval of council meeting minutes, November 4th, 2019. Anybody have any questions on that? Sometimes you get that fire, so sometimes they go kind of fast here.
Can I make a motion to approve? Remember, these guys get done looking at them, like, in a couple seconds.
Can I ask, is it the November minutes or the December minutes that you're looking at?
These are December 2nd, 2019.
Yeah.
And waiting for a second.
I was up there.
Oh.
My house would have stayed.
Okay, so it's Heber Valley Flight Path.
Is that what it says on? Whoever agreed, he said.
I couldn't remember, I looked at it today.
So we'd like to make that one?
Yes.
Okay. Did everybody hear that?
I did not.
On line item five?
The website address is hebervalleyflightpath.com. And thank you for getting that on, Daniel.
Yeah.
So I looked at it, and I'm getting emails now. Might have been a mistake, but...
There's going to be...
You'll never get off that list now.
Phone in front of me, but there are going to be some meetings coming up at the end of January for the public. I think it's the 28th.
I think it's the 28th. Yeah, at the police station, Heber City Police Station, and...
No, that's my meeting, but the public meeting will be at the Midway, or Heber...
Oh, Heber Valley Elementary, you're
Heber
right.
Elementary, the following. So I think it's on a Wednesday, the 28th.
The 28th is a Tuesday, so 29th.
So show up.
The kickoff meeting?
Huh?
Kickoff meeting?
Yes, the takeoff meeting.
Kickoff meeting?
Yes.
So it's the 29th?
It's the 29th.
29th is Wednesday.
And it's at 6 o'clock.
We have a first to accept the meetings as written. I believe we have a change to...
I second that. Do you need a second?
You want to change that into motion with the add that flight path wording?
Yeah.
Okay. The motion is to accept with the change of flight path. You got a second?
I second that.
You have a second. Any discussion on that? None? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. That's approved. Recorder's office, warrants, approvals, announcements. And then some of the time over to Mary. And before you run to that, updates.
Okay. Comcast, we don't owe anything this month. DNA half dozen for office rent, 200. Smith and Harvickson, this is for November for general matters, $1,609. Other legal issues, $2,974.50. Fabian Bancott for Schultz State, $49. Computer Nerds, $1,387.50. Wasatch Wave for Title VIII resolution, $37. Meeting approval, $83.24. Resolution for 2081, another resolution for $1,850. Utah State Division of Finance for the bond series 2011, $6,670. State of Utah for quarterly, $1,617. Smith and Harvickson Legal Matter, $1,325. General Matters, $457.50. Mountain Land Ag of Associations annual fees, $828. TO Engineering Planning, $900. Bangeters, $567.50. Witts, $86.50, Baird's, $99, Lloyd's, $290, Gladowski, $122.50, Mitchell, $120, total $17,861.72. Public Works, Eric Sowers, LGM for snow removal, $100, Wasatch County snow removal, $3,331. Blue State Quarterlies, $77.04. Mountain Land Supply, $35.39 for a total $4,118.43. Council.
Mayor, just real quick, on LGM, I'm just curious, how many times did he plow?
It showed once, I believe. Okay. Yeah, and that was for I think it was for December. Council payroll. Commission payroll for a total $29,402.53. Daniel Municipal Water, CenturyLink data charge $47.75. Heber Light and Power, $354.20. Computer Nerds, $300. Chemtech Ford, $20. TO Engineering for the engineering, $350. Sampling, $157.50 for a total of $1,229.45. Then you have payroll for a total of $1,976.95. Stormhaven Water, Dominion Energy, $908. Heber Light and Power, $125.44. Computer Nerds, $300. A1 Septic, $650. Chemtech Ford, $40. TO Engineering for engineering, $157.50. Sampling, $175 for a total of $1,857.02. And then payroll for a total of $2,244.52.
Make a motion that we accept the warrants for December 2019.
Here's a motion.
On January 6th, 2020.
Excuse me, I second that.
First and second. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Warrants passed or approved? Budget.
Okay, so just really quick too, the Census Bureau brought in some information. If anybody's looking for part-time people that want to help with the Daniels area, he said it starts around $16 an hour. You can kind of work your own hours. They are going to be hiring around mid-March, and he said it takes usually about 2 months. So if anybody is interested, there's information available.
Really fun. You got to go to everybody's house and knock on their doors and talk to them.
Fill this out.
Okay, quarterly. So for total revenues for general, we're at 41.21%, and for overall expenditures were
70.39. Do these include the warrants that we just approved?
Yes.
And we haven't gotten very much property tax yet.
No, because I just got that check, so it actually just went in. So yeah.
Do you remember?
Like 25,000. Okay. Okay, operating. We are on expenditures 28.02%. And Expenditures, %538. And then on Storm Haven, the revenue, 71.43, and expenditures, we are 84.81.
Percentages, a couple of line items there. Oh, I'm sorry.
Having worked with the Polaris software before, you can add categories. If you're wanting more specific information on the sewer, you might, for the next budgeting purposes, make a new category for sewer repairs or something that is more obvious.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Okay.
That way we won't have to look it up again. It'll be
right
up there.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
We see that our grants and things have really messed with our budget, huh?
Hopefully they'll continue to.
Yes, it's a good thing.
One other question, Chip. What do you foresee for the legal expenses? We're only halfway through the year and almost twice what you budgeted.
And we're not half done.
I was going to say, we are half done.
Not half done.
Well, we're close.
With our legal fees.
No, that's something that certainly is reactionary, and we will see. I got rid of actually quite a couple of three of them that got taken care of. We're certainly wrapping up the other two, but that'll certainly be an amendment to the end. For sure, on that line item.
Yeah, when they said that we had a little bit extra money,
sure.
We have a spot to put it.
A little fast. Well, you know that, as you've got to remember, I mean, next year, I we think we have some money this year, but a lot of people, I mean, just turn somebody down, they're going to see it nowadays. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't see that going down. I continue to see this.
That might have line item go up.
Yep. I think that we have more and more coming in the town. Okay. That's the answer. So,
for everything.
You can see why the municipalities will cave, spend over $10,000 to enforce a zoning ordinance. Pretty expensive ordinance.
Questions on the quarterly budget report?
So I probably should bring this up now. I asked Mary not to cut in some items in the warrants and also in our budgets. That I think when we go into closed session, we'll discuss that. There's some information that's getting out to the public that I think is protected by our closed meeting, and I think that needs to be curbed. And it wouldn't be there to start with, except for the council asked for those items to be broken down, and so that's why they're in there. I think we need to be more general if the public's allowed to view our ones at the time that we're approving them, because it's on our legal end, it's causing some difficulties and more expense. So we'll discuss that in closed meeting. I just wanted to heads up on that.
Just, you know, if you go still looking for it to move on, got to move on, or are you just still looking?
Oh, that's okay, I just, yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to spend some time.
Oh, yeah.
You love that stuff.
And then that would, Mary, that takes care of everything on your side?
Yes.
Okay. Just got item number 13. Council, I believe we should go into closed session this evening, so Chair, I'll get a motion for that.
I make a motion to go out of regular session and go into closed session.
Perfect. Yeah, motion to close session.
Can you state the purpose?
It will be for legal, personal, property acquisition. What are those?
All of those? No, you need to state which one of those are all three.
It will be legal, personal, and property acquisition.
Okay, all three of those.
They're on there.
All three of those.
Goodbye, Sherry. Goodbye, Lynn.
Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Do you want me to stay, Kurt?
I'll catch you up if you want, if you need to go.
So we have a first, we have a second? We have a first and a second.
Principle, if I'm not needed, I probably shouldn't be here.
I'm second.
But I can stay.
Second.
I'm second.
All in favor on going out of regular session into closed session?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?